All right, I'll pray for Chris and then hand over to him to bring us God's word. Heavenly Father, thank you for this man. Thank you for his attention to all that you are saying to him. Thank you that he has prepared for this morning, that he has been listening intently to you, that he has heard your voice. And I pray now for us listening that we would have soft hearts to hear exactly what it is you have to say to each of us this morning. Yeah, draw us together now as he speaks. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Julia, Anna, huge good morning to you all, wherever you're watching from, be it live, be it later on in the week, or wherever. I was just thinking, this morning, we're closing in on a year of live streamed online church, eh? A year. That's amazing to think of, isn't it? And bless you guys for being with us and for sticking with us through all the various forms of what it's been like over the last year. And thank you for doing that. Why don't we just pray together, and why don't you just pause for a moment? And I'd love you just to pray for someone who you know is watching. Why don't you pray for someone who you know is watching? And if you know them well enough to have their phone number or maybe their email address, why don't you at some point after we've finished this morning, just message them with an encouraging word, a scripture, whatever it might be. But just pause. Pray for someone who you know is watching. And I'm going to pray for us too. Father, thank you for this community. Thank you for your word. And thank you for the words that you speak over us. And I pray this morning that you would encourage our hearts, that you would challenge us and stir us, that you would draw us closer to yourself, and the Holy Spirit, that you would lead us and guide us, as you so often and always do. We welcome you to come and change our lives this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So we asked if you've joined us since the sofa chat started at 10:02, you may have missed a question that we asked some people. We said, how do you feel about surprises? How do you feel about surprises? I wonder how you feel about surprises. There were some mixed answers. Some people really like surprises. Some people really didn't like surprises. Some people were a little bit in the middle. Some people were caveating their answer based on whether it was a good surprise or a bad surprise. Everyone has lots of different reactions to surprises. I'm probably someone who's not quite sure about the idea of a surprise, but actually really loves it when it comes. If it's a good one, right? And you might relate to that. The thing with surprises is that there are actually lots of different types of surprises. There's the surprise, it's your birthday kind of surprise, which actually happened to me this year. There's the kind of surprise, we actually bought two guinea pigs instead of just one. Kind of surprise, which also happened to me this year. Then there's actually the really hard surprises. There's like the painful surprises, the things that just creep up on us and go bam in our lives, and we're just taken by surprise at that thing that happened. Really hard, painful surprises. I'm sure that so many of us can relate to hard, painful, difficult surprises. And then there's the surprise that maybe isn't really a surprise at all. Especially for the people that might know us best. I found it hard to think of a surprise like this. I was like a bit of a, maybe like surprise, I ate the whole bag again. I couldn't really think of many other ones, but that's no doubt happened to me this year. All kinds of surprises evoke lots of different reactions within us, don't they? Some of them are like, wow, that's amazing. Some of them are like, oh, I didn't realize you were going to get two guinea pigs. Other ones might be, oh man, I can't believe that happened. That's so hard. And then that other one, that last one, that last surprise of, oh, that really shouldn't have been a surprise at all. And this is the kind of surprise, the last one, the fourth one, this is the kind of surprise that we're diving into today. I don't know how you feel about surprises, but today in our journey through 1 Peter, we reach a very particular kind of surprise, and we're going to read together. So if you've got a Bible with you, I'd love you to open it to 1 Peter. We're going to be in chapter 4. We're going to be reading from verse 12. So let's get stuck in. Okay, it says, "Dear friends," other translations would say "beloved," "do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." The title of my talk today is "Surprised by Suffering." Surprised by suffering. Now, I want to be really clear before we go any further that these verses here in 1 Peter 12 to 19, they are framed specifically around suffering for being a Christian. These verses are really all about persecution. And I don't know about you, but I don't feel like I really suffer for being a Christian in this country, in our culture. And no doubt there will be people watching who have suffered for being a Christian and even now do suffer for being a Christian. And we're with you today and we're going to pray for you as we begin to close off our gathering this morning. No doubt there are people in that position. But I wanted just to be really clear at the beginning that honestly, as I've read through these verses this week, it's been quite hard for me to be able to stand in front of you this morning to preach on these verses on suffering for being a Christian, knowing that ultimately it's not my experience. But I know that it is the experience of so many brothers and sisters, both in this country for sure, but predominantly overseas and in lots of other countries around the world as well. So as I speak, I'm hopefully going to share some things that are going to be helpful for us in our own journey with faith and our own understanding of suffering as being a Christian. But I also want to be able to include just snippets of quotes and stories from other brothers and sisters for whom this is really real in their experience today. Because I think it's really important that we hear from those people as well. We're going to go into more detail on this at the five later on, and you're obviously really welcome to join us for that. I had loads of thoughts when I read through these verses. They're not easy verses to read, are they? I had loads of thoughts, but my first one was something along the lines of, and I couldn't get past the first verse almost. The first thought I had almost was, well, how do you get taken by surprise? Or how do you not get taken by surprise? Like, how do you not be surprised by something that surprises you? By definition, the surprise is it's a surprise. But Peter commands us in this letter, he says, "Dear friends, beloved, do not be surprised." How do you not be surprised? So my wondering became, well, can you control whether you're surprised by something or not? And I think these verses indicate to us, imply that we can. We can have control over whether we are surprised by something or not. So this morning I've got a few thoughts that might help us in this. Hopefully in our understanding, hopefully in our experience of life, but also as we stand with brothers and sisters right across the globe right now who for whom they are suffering for being Christians. When I thought about these verses, there's a bunch of words that came into my head, and the first two words are around perspective and preparation. How do we not get taken by surprise with suffering for being a Christian? Perspective and preparation. I sent off an email to Sarah Wadsworth, who is actually sitting right there. She's doing projection for us this morning. I sent an email off to her this week to ask her if she had any particular things that she might be able to share with me about the persecuted church, because I know for her that's a real area of passion. And she wrote back to me a fantastic email, but there was a specific thing in it which is really, really helpful. And she said, in her email, we all suffer in different ways, and suffering can cause us to be more reliant on God and to grow in our faith. And then she wrote this, it depends on how we choose to react to it. It depends on how we choose to react to it. And I think that's so true, isn't it? I was having this exact discussion with one of my children yesterday morning in a particularly interesting moment in our house about how you can choose to react to things and actually that you have the power to choose your reaction. I think it's fair to say that the way we react to things often reveals something about what's going on in our internal journey. If you stop for a moment right now and you think about certain situations that have come up in your life, even in the last week, and the way in which you reacted to them, those reactions will reveal something and expose something to you about your internal journey. Reactions also expose. So how do we cultivate as Christians an internal reality which isn't surprised by the suffering that we get and many other Christians get? Well, we learn to develop healthy, eternal perspective and we get prepared. We learn to develop healthy, eternal perspective and we get prepared. What does the Bible say about this stuff now? Well, we know in Colossians it talks about setting our hearts and our minds on things above, not on earthly things. We know that in Corinthians, Paul writes about the fact that what we can see is temporary, but what we can't see is eternal. Jesus says this stuff to his friends. We read it in John's gospel. He says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. There was a story that I was reading about this week about a Christian lady, and she held a fairly high-powered job in the country that she lived in, which was a country where it's tough to be a Christian. In her faith, in her job, she preached the gospel to her colleagues. But she was found out by particular authorities, and she spent a day being interrogated by the authorities for the preaching of the gospel and her religious activities. Her colleagues were also interviewed and interrogated. In the end, the lady lost her job. She was demoted from her position. She lost the majority of her income. And as she wrestled with the fact that she had essentially lost her career, that she'd spent years and years and years of her life sowing into and developing, it just got wiped out in front of her because of her faith. As she wrestled with it, she ended up saying this. She said, with God's grace, the frustration and the grief gradually left me. I eventually found peace when I accepted that what I had always believed, that only God's work has eternal value. Everything else is temporary. It will pass away. Learning to develop a healthy, eternal perspective is so important for a great many things. None more important, I think, than this area of suffering and persecution. I mentioned this verse earlier from 2 Corinthians. You find it in 2 Corinthians 4:18. And just before we read these verses, we have those famous verses. I'm gonna just find them because they are absolutely incredible. Those famous verses in 2 Corinthians 4 where Paul writes this. You'll know them. He says, we are hard pressed on every side, not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We read those verses. Those verses, they always remind me of that old song. I used to have it on a Wow Worship CD. It was a green CD. It's called Trading My Sorrows. Do you remember that song, Debs? You remember it? It goes, I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my joy. Yeah, really good song. Anyway, the bridge goes, I'm crushed. No, I'm pressed, but not crushed. Persecuted, not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. I am blessed beyond a curse, for his promise will endure, that his joy is going to be my strength. These verses always remind me of that song and the truth that is in those songs, in that song. Hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. And then he goes on, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, what he then writes, he says, therefore we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. How many of you know that God is so invested in your internal journey? Outwardly, we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And then he writes, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. Developing a healthy eternal perspective is very, very significant in the way that we lead our lives as Christians, and particularly in areas like this of suffering and persecution. What is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This building is temporary. These jobs and careers that we hold are temporary. The money that comes with the jobs is temporary. The house we might own, the latest stuff that we're desperate to have because we need it so much in our life, is temporary. It's wasting away. It's temporary. But yet what is unseen is eternal. What is unseen is eternal. So it begs that question, like, well, what are we building our lives on then? What do we build our lives on? I was chatting to Helena about it last night, and she said she was just reminded of the wise and the foolish builders in the Gospels. You know, the foundation of the rock or the sand, the foundation that we continually have the opportunity to build in our lives on solid things. And when I say perspective and preparation, we can't necessarily prepare for the kind of suffering that we might face as Christians. I'm sure lots of these brothers and sisters that we read about who are suffering for their faith right now, they can't necessarily prepare for the kind of suffering that they might be facing, but they can prepare that it's going to happen. And Jesus said, we said it earlier, Jesus said, in this world you're going to have trouble. It's going to happen. You can prepare by understanding that it's going to happen, but you can also prepare the foundation of your life and continue to build a solid foundation of your life. This is one of the ways that makes sure that we don't get taken by surprise when suffering and persecution might come towards us. Verse 19 of our passage today talks about those who suffer should commit themselves to their faithful creator and continue to do good. How do we not get taken by surprise? We learn to prepare and develop an eternal perspective, yes. We get prepared, yes. But also, we also learn to engage with perseverance, with passion, and with praise. With perseverance, with passion, and with praise. I came across a story about a person who'd been falsely accused of aggressive evangelism in a country that was particularly hostile towards Christians, and they were thrown into prison. They were there for 4 months, and their reflection was this. This is what they reflected on. As I was locked in isolation, this person says, I realized I had more time for communion with the Lord, and I waited with patience, praying and thanking the Lord for everything. For everything. Falsely accused. Shouldn't have been there in the first place. Thrown in prison. Stayed there 4 months. I realized I had more time for communion with the Lord. I mean, we're going to talk about a verse in James in a bit. It says, consider it pure joy that whenever you face trials of many kinds. I realized I had more time for communion with the Lord, and I waited with patience, praying and thanking the Lord for everything. And as this person finally received the help they needed to get out of prison and to sort their situation out, they said, God is so faithful. We lacked nothing. He is so good. God is so faithful. We lack nothing. He is so good. What's that verse in James then? James writes this. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, that whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Remember those verses we just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? At the beginning of those verses we read, it said, therefore we do not lose heart. In the verses we read that Jesus talked about, he said, said to his friends, take heart. I've overcome the world. When it says this in Corinthians, that original word for losing heart is trying to convey the idea of like becoming exhausted, of giving up. It's a very strong word, which is, it's really trying to tell us, please don't give up. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Please don't give up, is what that's trying to tell us. Please don't give up. Perseverance is critical in our developing discipleship. You know, on a personal level right now, I'm really challenged at the moment on how easy it is to worship at the altar of comfort. Just personally. It's really easy to worship at the altar of comfort, especially in our culture. And one of the things I feel is that comfort and perseverance don't usually go very well together. Because comfort wants you to make sure that everything's okay, and usually for it to happen as quickly as possible. Perseverance isn't usually born out of comfort. Sometimes it's the trial and the suffering that give the opportunity for growth and development, but also the opportunity for worship, for praise. There was one story I read about this week, a believer who is in one of the most hostile countries for Christians. And they said this, it said, in the darkest land of my country, secret believers will continue whispering hymns, praying in hidden places, and secretly reading the Bible where they can. By faith, they are hopeful and obedient, even though they know the consequences of being discovered. The chains of starvation, imprisonment, torture, and execution cannot stop their faith in God. Secret believers will continue whispering hymns, praying in hidden places, and secretly reading the Bible where they can. The trial and the suffering often produces an opportunity for perseverance, but it also provides the opportunity for praise. And we see that in our verses today. We've read some already in James. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. In our verses, it says in verse 13 of 1 Peter, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. However, verse 16, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. There's something incredibly significant about our maturing in our faith and our discipleship. And this is for us as much as it is for anyone else across the world, that we learn to worship in all circumstances and in all situations. There's something hugely significant about learning that. I find it to be, in my experience of people, I find it to be one of the most consistent marks of a mature believer is their ability to worship regardless of the circumstance. As in my experience, that's what I find to be true. There's a correlation in my experience between maturity and being able to worship through all things. And trial and suffering and persecution provides us an opportunity to learn that, to grow and to develop in our faith. How do we not get taken by surprise? We definitely develop a healthy, eternal perspective, for sure. Absolutely. We definitely get prepared. Really, really important. Get prepared. We also learn to praise, because that is so significant in the maturing of our discipleship. We engage with perseverance, and we take the time through the trials of our life to engage in perseverance, knowing that it will bring us to maturity. It's very hard though, isn't it? To continue in our faith in this kind of a way through these trials without passion. I think it's very hard to do that. And so I don't know where you are at the moment in your relationship with God. And I don't know where you are with regards to your passion with your relationship with God. But passion is also one of those things that sustains us in times of hardship. It keeps us connected. And so I want to encourage you this morning. All those things I've already said are absolutely true. But I also want to encourage you this morning to ask the Holy Spirit for greater passion in your relationship with Him. That when things go wrong, or when things don't go the way you thought they would, that you don't drop off in your faith, that you don't blame God for the things that happen. It doesn't work like that, but you turn back towards Him. You endure and you get perseverance. You get praising. You remember your eternal perspective. You remember that you prepared for this. There are a great many things that I believe that the Lord wants to do in our lives. But this morning, I believe that through these verses, He calls us to a natural position and posture of prayer for those whom are around the globe where these verses bear out in their experience right now. So I hope that there are things that have inspired and challenged you this morning in your own walk with Jesus. Absolutely. I really hope that there has been some things. But I want us to pray for those people for whom this is real today. That same person who was talking about the secret believers whispering their praise and praying in hidden places was asked whether they thought that if their country could become free, essentially. The person said this. He said, despite all of this stuff, if anyone asks me if my country could ever become a free nation, my answer is yes. God makes impossible things possible. When we have faith in God, we live for tomorrow. God makes impossible things possible. And that's what we believe. That's the kind of God that we believe in. That's the kind of God that you and I believe in, and our brothers and sisters across the nations believe in. The final thing I want to say before I finish is this, that when it says in verse 19, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator. The word commit there is you could also translate it in trust. It's like a deposit of yourself in God. And there might be people this morning who are watching, and you've never, ever in your life deposited your life and your soul in the hands of a faithful Creator. And so we want to pray for you this morning as well, that this might be the first time that you actually go, yeah, this is my time to commit my life to that God who loves me unconditionally. So I think that's all I really want to say this morning. But what I want us to do now, as Debs comes back and maybe just begins to play for us as we pray, I want us to turn our attention as corporately as we can through our use of comments and chat and all the stuff that we've already done this morning to pray for our brothers and sisters right across the world. And I'm going to ask you to begin to pray and to type those prayers into the chat if you can, if you're able. I know not everyone's able, but you can just pray where you are. What I'm going to ask you to do, make sure you do though, is not to mention any details. If you can, I'm at this point, we're going to pray much more specifically at the 5 later, because it's a private Zoom thing and we can do it differently there. But because this is public, I'd rather you don't mention any names. If you can not mention countries specifically, that'd be great. But I want us to pray. Okay. So with that in mind, I think it would be good for us to do that together. So let's turn our attention towards praying. On my phone here, I should have the comments that you write here so I can read them. So as you pray and you type those prayers in, I'll be able to see them come up. There we go. Right, we're ready. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, I would love for you to turn your attention towards other places around the world, other people that you might know who were suffering and are persecuted, and that we can gather around this morning as a church, that we can pray for them, knowing that our prayers are powerful, that our prayers are effective, and that we hear the words of that particular person in that particular country. God makes impossible things possible. We believe that today. So let's pray. And so let me encourage you to write your prayers into the chat. I'll read them out when they come in, and we'll just wait for a moment for that to start coming through. And I'm going to pray while we do that. Julia may come up as well in a minute and just help us out as we pray. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that you prepare us really well for trials and for suffering and for persecution. Thank you that it is included in this amazing book. Thank you that you have prepared us. And I pray you would help us now in our hearts and our minds to turn our attention towards those people in our world that are currently struggling and suffering, and where these verses bear out as an absolute reality in their lives. We thank you, God, that you hear our prayers. You thank you that you hear the prayers of all of those brothers and sisters right around the world that are praying, no doubt, right even right this second and right this minute. So we pray, Holy Spirit, would you bring comfort? Would you bring power? Would you bring transformation? Would we take you at your word, where impossible things can become possible? We thank you, Father, that your church is growing in some of the areas of greatest persecution. We thank you that nothing is stopping your gospel having impact right across the world right now. And so we pray that that message and the power of that message would continue to go forth. It will continue to go out through the lips of believers right across this world. And that many lives would be turned around and changed for all of eternity. Pray, Father, help us as believers in this country, for whom this is not maybe as real a thing as it is for other people, to stand with and to commit to praying for those people for whom this is really true. I'm going to just read a few of the prayers that have come in. Jackie's prays, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. Strengthen and uphold the weak and the work of the agencies supporting persecuted believers. Amen. Linda prays, I pray for all those persecuted for their faith. I ask that you surround them with love, comfort and hope and encouragement in Jesus' name. John, he prays, watching live all the way from India in South Asia. God bless you, John, in India. Whatever's going on for you right now. Allison prays, Lord, please soften the hearts of the regimes who persecute Christians. Amen. Laura prays, Father, thank you for our brothers and sisters across the world who are suffering for their faith. Thank you for the way you challenge us through their faithful witness to you. Father, may they be a light to their families, communities, and nations. May they know your closeness in their suffering, and may they experience exceeding joy in their suffering. Amen, amen. Helena, I pray Psalm 112 over those who are persecuted today. Verse 4, even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Verse 7, they will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Tavy writes, forgive me, Lord, when I take being able to read your word for granted. I pray this morning for those who are translating your word, for those who still don't have access to a Bible in their native language. Yeah, that's a great thing to be praying about and thinking about. Linda also prays that, God, you forgive us when we take our freedom for granted, and to help us remember those in our daily prayers. Alison, you've got a specific prayer there, which we'll come to that in a second. Chris Saunders writes, I pray for all people who are not allowed to own a Bible, that your word may reach them somehow. Sharon, she says, strengthen, protect and empower Christian politicians seeking to bring your kingdom values to the leadership worldwide. Amen. Will writes, pray for those who are doing the persecuting. May they meet you, Jesus. We pray for stories of those people being set free by the persecutors themselves. Amen. And Carol prays, she prays for secret believers, those who are even forced to hide their faith from their families. Amen. Father, thank you that you hear all of our prayers this morning. Thank you that you hear the prayers of this church and of many churches across the world. And we continue to pray for those believers. And pray your mercy and your goodness over them. I'm going to pray for what Laura just mentioned here as well. We pray these words from Ephesians 3 over all persecuted believers. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with all power so that through his spirit, your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. So good. Thank you for that. And Alison just commented as well, please pray for my daughter in ITU after giving birth 2 weeks ago. Yeah, we pray for your daughter, Alison, now, and pray for that baby, and pray your love and protection, your mercy over them this morning in Jesus' name. We're running out of time, definitely. I want you, wherever you are, as we finish now by worshiping together, just for a little while, just to continue to pray for these people. Continue to pray for people that you might know or people that you don't know. And many of you will already be aware of the organization Open Doors. And I highly recommend that you go to their website, that you spend some time on their website and you read about the stories that are on there and of all the different nations that they communicate to us about. It's an excellent, excellent resource when we think about persecuted Christians right across the world as Open Doors, and I highly recommend you go and check that out. We're going to worship now to finish. Keep praying wherever you are, and then Julie is going to come and she is going to wrap us up towards the end. Okay, let's worship.